John chapter number 10 tonight, and I got something on my heart, on my mind, and actually it's what I was kind of gearing towards on Sunday morning when the Lord spoke to my heart when the former president was shot there Saturday night. And then the Lord confirmed it when Brother Jason preached on Sunday night. John chapter 10, I want to read a couple of verses. I'll get my finger stuck over here. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians. You can stick your finger in there where Brother Jason was on Sunday night as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. All right, and John, I'm going to let you sit tonight and rest. It's Wednesday. And boy, thank God for the rain. Let's stop and say that. Amen. I know it was just a shower, but I tell you, we're dry, amen. And it's supposed to get some more maybe tonight, and then maybe some more tomorrow. And my boy, he raises cattle, and he's feeding hay, and he really would appreciate some rain, amen. God knows what we need. The Bible said in John chapter number 10, in verse number 9, it said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in," how many's entered in tonight? Amen. "He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." You know, a lot of people, when they get saved, they think that's it. Oh, no, that's just the beginning. Amen. Well, you get saved, then you're going to go in and out. The Bible said you're going to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You're going to find some pasture. The Bible said in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it," I'd like for you to underline this word, "more abundantly." More abundantly. Man, I'm tickled to death just to have life. But I thank God that God said, "Listen, I've got some, I like strawberries, but really what makes strawberries good is Cool Whip on top of them." Say amen. I like apple pie, but boy, you put me a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of a good warm piece of apple pie. Brother Dale's head of the house. Amen. More abundantly. God said, "I'm going to give you life, but I'm going to put some ice cream on top of it. It's going to get sweet." Amen. I want you to have it more abundantly. And then the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 1, Brother Jason read in our hearing the other night, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God," watch this, "so that you would abound more and more." What I'd like to preach on tonight is more and more and more. Amen. How many wants to be more like him tonight? How many wants to see more of it? More of his saving fullness, see. More of the one who died for me. Amen. I want to just give you four things tonight. Don't get all excited. It'll take at least 30 minutes to do that. But anyway, I'll give you four things the Lord's put on my heart tonight. The first one I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but I want you to think about the risk of not living the abundant life. The risk. Little boy, I didn't plan on saying this, but the Lord just brought it back to my mind. Little boy had a little old dog, and it was just kind of like a mutt. It was a crossbreed, and somebody said, "What kind of dog is that?" And that little boy said, "It's a police dog, mister." He said, "Boy, it don't look much like a police dog." Boy, this is good timing. Anyway, he said, "He's in the Secret Service." That's where a lot of Christians are, in the Secret Service. I want to say there's a risk of not living the abundant life. I believe life... God, just give me this. Think about this. I believe life is what God puts on the inside of us when he saves us. But I believe when that, what he puts on the inside begins to shine and spill over, I believe that's the abundant life. That But people can't see the life that God put in us. But they can see the result of that. Say amen when that life spills out of us and when we have an abundant life. The scripture the Lord put on my heart with the risk of not living the abundant life, the Bible said, and because iniquity shall abound. How many knows iniquity is abundant in our day and hour? Amen. I saw a fellow today. He said, I don't act the same when I'm in New York. He said, I have to keep watching behind me and keep watching all the way around me because you don't know who's coming out of the alley after you. Amen. And I'm just telling you, iniquity, the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I'll tell you tonight, if all the life we ever have is what's on the inside of us, that'll get us to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If we don't have this abundant life, that love will wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. So there's a risk. There's a risk in our own life. There's a risk in the lives of our spouses, our children, our neighbors. There's a risk even in the church. I'm going to say this tonight. I'm not throwing any stones. But I traveled for 10 years with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And honey, I'm telling you that some churches are so cold, if a Jersey cow walked through the back door, give ice milk before it got to the altar. That's how cold they are. Amen. There's no welcome. There's no spirit. Amen. There's no preaching. Amen. You might get a little sermon, Ed. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's not the preaching of the Word of God the way that we know it. And so there's a risk of not living the abundant life. I don't know about you, but I thank God for people that God has put in my life that just overflowed, amen, with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. It's number two tonight. I'll travel on in this message. I want to talk to you about the reason we should live the abundant life. Moreover, the Bible said here, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's two people that's portrayed in this chapter. One is the shepherd and the other one is the stranger. Did you know, beloved, listen, if we don't pick up our Bible and all we hear is the news, all we ever hear from is the stranger. If we don't pick up our Bible and all we get is the slop operas, amen, we never hear, beloved, the shepherd. All we hear is the slop from the stranger, amen. I heard a man preaching years ago on soap operas, and man, I could amen that real good till I found out Dallas was one. Son, you couldn't pay me to miss an episode of Dallas. Amen. I either got it. Some of you are laughing. You're right there with me. Amen. Who shot JR? Who cares? I'm just glad he got shot. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? We need more of the shepherd. We need to hear more of his voice. Need less of the stranger. The shepherd will tell you the truth. The stranger will lie to you. Amen. He'll lie to you over and over and over. Think about this when we're talking about the abundant life. First of all, think about mercy. The Bible said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. I'm telling you, I ought to live an abundant life because God has shown me abundant mercy. Amen. I'm telling you, if I had to answer for what I've done in my life, I'd be in hell if my back broke. But thank God, God had mercy on me. He had mercy. He did not put on me what I did deserve. And then grace. The Bible said, I love this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, I'm glad there's an ED on the end of that. That's a past tense. Grace did much more abound. Why? What's the reason we should live the abundant life? Well, have you found mercy in the eyes of the Lord? Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Thank God tonight for his grace. Amen. the abundant grace of God. 2 Corinthians 4:15 said, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. His grace is sufficient, but it's not just sufficient, it's abundant. God has given us new mercy and new grace every day of our life. And if God is abundant in His mercy and abundant in His grace, then we ought to be living an abundant life for the glory of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14 said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight. I believe so many times we live way below our privileges as the children of God. I believe God wants us, beloved, amen, to look up, get up there in His lap. Brother John said one night, and I was preaching about that, he said, you reckon there's room in His lap for all of us? I tell you, hey, hallelujah, there's room at the cross for all of us, and there's room in His lap for all of us, amen. Just get up there and fellowship with Him, amen. We'll be like that old fellow that couldn't speak plain. He said, I didn't know it turning to sugar, but it getting tweeter and tweeter, amen. Just to walk with God and serve the Lord in these days. Now listen about love. We talked about mercy. We talked about grace. The Bible said in Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. You know, my wife's sitting over there tonight, and I love my wife, but I don't love her like I did the day I married her. Now, if you're not careful, you'll think something bad about that. Say amen. I love her so much more. Amen. I'm telling you, the more time you spend together and the more fellowship you have together, the more your love grows and it abounds more and more. I'm going to say this tonight. There's a problem in this church if your pastor loves you like he did when he come here. I ought to love you more. Let me turn that around. There's a problem in this church if you love me like you did when I come here. You ought to love me more. Ain't that what the Bible, that's what the abundant life does. It just causes us to love one another more and more and more. The love of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. You see, God didn't leave the sinners out. He said the saints of God ought to be loving one another more and more, but He said, and to all men. All men aren't saved. And they need somebody to show them the love of God. Amen. When I was a teenager, my hair was real long. And my grandpa despised long hair on a man. But he never said a word to me about it. But he prayed for me. And I tell you, when I got saved and God called me to preach, He took me down in that basement where He had prayed for me. He told me, He said, son, I've prayed that God would call one of my boys, and He never did. But He got my grandson. He said, that's just as good. That's what He told me. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, the love of God, look over one another's faults. Somebody say amen. You say, pastor, I tell you what, I like that song. He looked beyond my faults and He saw my need. Amen. Thank God tonight. If you're looking for somebody with faults, you can look right here and look no further. Amen. But I'll tell you, the love of God learns to love people. Amen. And look beyond their fault and see what they need. And then I'm doing this point right here for Brother Jason, because God spoke to my heart to please God. That's the reason we should live the abundant life. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, that exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as you received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. Now, I appreciate the Bible, don't you? God said, I want you. He said, the thief comes. He come to steal. He said, but I come that you might have life. And that you might have it. Now, God could have stopped there and that would have been shouting ground. Somebody say amen. But He said, I want you to have it more abundantly. Then we looked at the risk of not living the abundant life and the reason we should live the abundant life. I'd like to take a few minutes tonight now and look at the result of living the abundant life. The result of living the abundant life. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. I read part of this verse a while ago, and I did that on purpose. I saved the last part for this part of the message. 1 Corinthians 15, 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I went down to Knoxville and preached in a revival meeting, and God wanted me to give my testimony. There were 9 people saved in that meeting. Amen. Thank God. And I titled the message, by the grace of I am what I am. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? God said, I am. So I just preached on, by the grace of I am what I am. By the grace of God, you are what you are. Now listen to what Paul said. But I labored, this is a result of the abundant life. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but it was the grace of God that was in me. One of the results of living the abundant life is labor. You say, Pastor, you're preaching a work salvation. Nope, just preaching a salvation that works. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't quit right there. Read the next verse. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God already settled it. When you get saved, there's a place for you in the work of God. Amen. It might be in the prayer closet. It might be on the street. I'm telling you, I don't know what God's got, but God's got something for every one of his children. There's no big I's and little U's in the family of God. Amen. Labor. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but it was the grace of God which was with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? Paul said, I speak as a fool. I am more, and laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, and in death oft. One of the results of living the abundant life is it produces a labor in our life. There's a verse over in Corinthians. Let's see if I can get it started. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let's see if we can get it. Nope, I'm going to go over and look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, look at it with me. Wherefore, my beloved, here it comes. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That old devil will jump up on your shoulder, say you're wasting your time. He'll tell a preacher you're wasting your breath. I'm telling you what, beloved, listen. If we're doing something for God, it's never a waste of time. It's never a waste of breath. Amen. You say, I might have talked to 100 people and 99 might not listen, but I'm telling you, the one that will, hallelujah, is worth it all. Amen. Worth it all. And then I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Now, this is good stuff right here. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The result of the abundant life. Number one, it results in labor. But number two, it results in fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. And besides this, in other words, you've been saved now. But besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You say, Pastor, I didn't know faith could be added to. Well, right here it says in the Bible, we're supposed to get saved. When we're saved, we're a babe in Christ. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. But Abby sent me a picture the other day, and I believe James was eating steak. Honey, I'm telling you what's the truth. He's going to be a butterball for long. Amen. Amen. He's going to be a butterball turkey. Amen. I believe he gained 5 pounds since the last time I held him. Amen. But he's eating steak. Why is he eating steak? Because he's growed him some teeth. Because he's getting older. And because you can't live on that mess they call baby food, say amen. You've got to have something to eat after a while. And the children of God are the same way. God said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Watch this. For if these things be in you and abound, there's the more and more and more. There's the abundant life. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many would agree with me tonight? If these things are not going on, beloved, then it's no wonder that we're not living an abundant life. There's no wonder that we're not fruitful, amen, in the work of the Lord. But watch this. The Bible said, but if he that lacketh these things is blind, he's not lost. That's not what it's saying. Let me read the rest of the verse. He's blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know what will keep us doing what we're supposed to be doing? Looking afar off. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. There's a judgment seat of Christ that every child of God is going to stand before. That'll keep us doing what we're supposed to be doing. Living the way we're supposed to be living. And put in us a desire not just to live a mediocre Christian life, but to live a life that abundantly reflects the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last thing in this section, the result of living the abundant life is answered prayer. In Ephesians, you talked about that tonight, brother. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. A person that's living an abundant life is praying. A person that's living an abundant life, not only praying, but God's answering those prayers. Amen. Now listen, they may not all be answered the way we want them to be answered, but God's hearing the prayer of the righteous. The Bible said, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad that Jesus said, I'm come. The thief, he come to steal. He come to steal from you. He come to kill you. He come to destroy you. But I'm come that they might have it life, they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Tonight, the last thing I want to give you here in the message is the reward for living the abundant life. I want to say something tonight. I'm not trying to sound mean, but as I studied and as I prayed and I thought about the message, you know what I believe? I believe heaven is going to be a shock to some believers. I believe the peace that they experience is going to be a shock because they just live and they don't have peace down here. The joy that they're fixing to experience is going to be a shock because they're just living way beneath their privileges and they don't. The love. Honey, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to a place where everybody loves everybody. Amen. It don't matter whether they got your denominational name tag on them or not. Amen. They've had the blood of Jesus Christ applied in their heart. They're a child of the King. And I'm not preaching ecumenicalism, but I'm just saying this. I'm going to a place where people are going to love one another and love the Savior. And I believe heaven will be a shock for some believers. What's the reward for living the abundant life? I say this. First thing I want to mention is hope. We're living in a world where there's no hope. The Bible told us as Christians to sorrow not in that same passage over there, I believe, in Thessalonians, as others which have no hope. How many is glad you have a living hope down inside of you tonight? Amen. Honey, I tell you, when I leave those places like where Sister Margaret's at and we went over there tonight, I'm just glad the dear lady that was in the room with her had to get her walker and go over to brush her teeth. I'm just glad where I'm going, there's no walkers. There's no assisted living. There's no nursing homes. There's no hospitals. Say amen. What a blessing that's going to be. We have that hope. The Bible said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. God don't want us just to have some hope. He wants us to abound, amen, in that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, we read that a while ago, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know what Jesus did? He got up. You know what He did? He got up forever. He'll never die again. Amen. And I tell you what He did. He promised He's coming. And He promised that my loved ones that's in the cemetery are going to get up. My loved ones that knew Christ when they went down in the cemetery are going to get up. They're all going to get up. But at the rapture, the saved are going to get up. And they're going to go up and be with Jesus. And what a blessed day that's going to be. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. I got to thinking about this. Brother Jason, I was thinking about my dream I had a little while back. I've not had it again. That dream where I looked up there on the mountaintop and there was Jesus. And there was just this big glow all the way around Him. And I was ascending. I'm telling you, I cannot describe the peace that was in my heart as I was ascending and going towards Him. And all I can remember about the dream is there He was and I'm going towards Him. And I wanted so badly to look to my right and look to my left, because I knew if I could look to my right and look to my left and there's a bunch of others going, this is it. But in my dream, I couldn't turn my head. I couldn't take my eyes off of Him. And then I woke up and I realized it was a dream. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Here's what God said to me this afternoon when I was looking at this verse. Honey, your dream ain't going to hold a candle to the real thing. The Bible said here, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing. During his 1960 presidential campaign, John F. Kennedy, he often closed his speeches with the story of Colonel Davenport, the Speaker of the Connecticut House of Representatives. On May the 19th, 1780, the sky of Hartford darkened ominously. And some of the representatives, glancing out the windows, feared the end was at hand. Quelling a clamor for immediate adjournment, Davenport rose and said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought. Rather than fearing what is to come, we are to be faithful till Christ returns. Instead of fearing the dark, we are to be light as we watch and wait." When I remembered, or when I read that, I remembered something, a response that an old preacher gave to a young man that asked him a question. I want you to think about this. He said, "Preacher, if you knew Jesus were coming today," he said, "what would you change?" Think about this response. Brother Junior, he said, "Nothing." He got up that morning doing what he was supposed to be doing. He had plans for that day to do what he was supposed to be doing. He was being led of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what we should want to be doing when Jesus comes? Amen. Brother Richard, play that song for me. I ain't heard it in years, would you please? I want y'all to listen to this. It's a truth. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Thank you. not it, Brother Richard.
And then,
is that the one I sent you? That's the one I sent? You sure about that? Yeah, let's see here. That's not the song, though. Wait just a minute. I thought I actually checked it.
Home Depot is left scrambling.
Home Depot is left scrambling.
But the giant retailer is making...
Give me this microphone. This is why I sent you. I don't know how the wires got crossed up. Well... Wake up, amen. Sing it, Brother Zach. Soon gonna be over, youngins, amen. I may listen for that trumpet, amen. That's where we're going, amen. Might as well live up there where your privileges are, amen. I wrote something down. I want you to think about this. Think about this. I didn't know this. I did a little research. You know when that song was written? 1942. In 1942, somebody said, Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. And then in 1969, it was the song of the year. I was 9 years old when it was the song of the year. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? And some are still singing it today. But whether they sing it or not, the truth's the same. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. Righteous meet in the skies, telling this world goodbye. Onward we then will fly, heavenward bound. I'm just glad you come tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here.